We're going to look at a few things this morning. When some things come our path, and it can either be from the schemes of the enemy, but sometimes it's something in me, or it can be something from the outside. Just me rubbing shoulders with other people on this globe called the earth. And how quickly it kind of disturbs our momentum in the Lord. It disturbs our momentum moving forward in the Lord. And when our momentum on moving forward and growing in the Lord, when that gets disturbed, we become like this little boat that's on the ocean, and it gets just tossed around. It's almost like it forms its own storm. And the one thing that combats that is when we have the ability, not in ourselves as much, but when we have the ability to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's almost that in Yeraki Siasika, if there's a stability, around you and your boat is not rocking, you won't get seasick from that. And the only way how we do that is if Jesus is properly the foundation of that. And so I'm going to preach the word this morning, but I almost feel to say, I know if we go around and we give everybody an opportunity, probably most of us that's in this room will say, no, they have given their lives to Jesus and that they are saved. And so, but this morning's preach is not about if you are saved per se. The question that I'm going to ask you this morning is are you ready for what happens next? Are you ready? And have you guys, I don't know in your social media circles, but have you heard about the rapture talk that went through down this week? The 23rd and the 24th of September was going to be the rapture in some people and in some circles. They proclaimed the two dates. It's going to be from this until then. Het julle gehoor van dit? And so, I don't know about you, but, you know, initially, because the Bible is so clear that nobody knows the date and the time. Nobody knows. Only the Father knows. Not even Jesus knows. So, I don't know how Jesus can appear to someone and say, listen, I know the date that it's going to happen, because not even Jesus knows. So, I don't know how that goes down. But even in that, there was a few moments in my own heart this week where I think, what if? What if it is true? What if it is true? And the whole question about are you ready? If that trumpet blows now, am I ready? And I think for us as followers of Jesus and as Christians, it is a question that we actually should ask ourselves more often. Are we ready? Because it is something that is going to determine the way that I walk, but it's also going to determine my stability. It's going to determine if I'm on fixed ground, which is Jesus, or is it something that is going to be actually throwing me off a bit? Because if you know that you know that you know that you know that you are saved and that you are safe in Jesus, there's not a lot in this life that can happen that can throw you off course. There's not a lot that can happen that can rock your boat. But I think often it is because we haven't really stand still by that question, am I ready? That we often we get so easily. Ons bootjie word so vinnig geraak. Maak dit sin? So I'm asking us the question this morning, are we ready? And I want to go to a few scriptures and again, I'm not gonna do the intro any longer. Matthew 25, let's go and read. This is a question about being ready. It's the story about the 10 virgins, 5 had oil in their lamps, 5 did not have oil in their lamps. The bridegroom came for the wedding, and 5 of them were not ready. And then they went and wanted to go and buy it. And so, verse 10, we catch up from verse 10. He says, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Now, just in that, trek julle keel ook so 'n bietjie toe. It does give you a little bit of a knoop op jou maag, that finality. Nee, it's the door was shut. It's final. It's it. That's it. There's going to be a time when it's going to be final. Boef. En dit is 'n goeie ding partykeer vir ons as kinders van die Here. We shouldn't always look at that and say, "Nee, ek wil eers daaraan dink nie." It sometimes it should take us to a good place. To the world, hulle keel moet toetrek and they should start in a sweat, you know. Hulle moet so koue sweetjie uitslaan hier op hulle dinges because they should ask themselves the question, am I saved in the first place? But for us as Christians, it's not a question of always being saved, but it's a question of being ready. And so afterward, the virgins also came and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know, neither the, you know neither the day nor the hour. That's something if we read that. And as followers of Jesus, that should not rock our boats. That should not bring an unsurety in our hearts. It should actually bring us to a place where we know that we know that we know that whatever happens in my day, that I am going to be with Jesus and that he knows me. And so, the problem is, and we're going to read that scripture now. Yeah, let's go. This is where the problem comes. John verse 3 verse 16 is a very, very well-known verse. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What word in that verse do you say is the most important word that we need to understand very clearly in order to give us our assurance that we know? Which word is the most important one there? Believes. Yeah. Well done for the guys. Believes. If our understanding of what it means to believe is just off, that is the thing that can rock our boat the most. If we do not fully understand what does the Bible mean when it says believes, because you can either water it down and just say believe, but then I can say, well, even the enemy, even the devil believes that Jesus exists. So belief, you know, what is your understanding of what it means to believe in Jesus? It is, becomes very, very at the center of your assurance. Because if you know that I understand that part well, and if I live that part out well of believing in Jesus, then it should give me that assurance that God will be true to his word and that I will have eternal life. So let's go and look at the word. I wanted to dissect the word. It was very interesting looking. I never looked at it before. It is the word pisteo, and that's not really important, but it is a specific Greek word. And it means to believe, to have faith, to trust. And the very interesting thing to me was it's actually a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. And so it is a doenwoord, né? It is a word that is actually, it's got action connected to that. It's got something that you, as if you the vasie onderwyser, I'm going to Linden, you, a werkwoord is a doenwoord, nee. It's a verb, it's something, it calls for action. It's not just something, it's not a name, belief is not just a name, of something, it is not just a terminology, it's a werkwoord. And so when you go and look further into that, it means to put your commitment into, it puts your trust into, and you're gonna see where it leads into. What is the into? Into Jesus. Your trust into, to put your trust with, to be entrusting. It says to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or a thing. Now, in our world, it is not a thing, but it is Jesus, the person of Jesus. By implication, to trust and to entrust yourself to Jesus. So that is a process. That is something that we do. It's not something that we know. It's not an understanding. It's not something, it's not just when you get saved as well. It's a continuous thing, and we're going to look at that this morning, of what does it mean to believe? And my hope is this morning, and where am I going with all of this? Where am I going with all of this? I realized in some of my discussions this week, when we were talking about the rapture, I realized that I think a lot of us don't often stand still by what do I believe, and not in the sense of we believe in Jesus, but what does it mean to believe? And then the second thing is we don't often stand still by this very important thing of my assurance of faith, knowing that doesn't matter what happens, because if I don't have assurance, if I don't know that if something goes wrong this afternoon, if I end up, let's just say if something goes wrong, I should know where I'm going. And the problem is, we've been talking about breaking the silence and spreading the gospel. We've been talking about planting seeds in other people's lives. And we've been talking about evangelizing. But the problem is if we as followers of Jesus, if we don't know that we know these things, and we don't talk and share the gospel of Jesus from a place of knowing what is going to happen to me, of knowing that I'm on steadfast ground here, then people will pick it up. There will be an unsurety. There will be a tossing about in my heart. And that is why I often think the world sometimes looks at us, and when they realize that for us as followers of Jesus, whatever happens in our life and whatever happens in the world, our joy gets stolen just as quickly as the rest of the world. And it's not supposed to be that way. We should actually be in a safer, steadfast, solid foundation place living this life of knowing what's going to happen tomorrow and not being unsure about that. And all of that revolves around the assurance of faith. So, where does it all start? It starts with communion. Now, communion, Jesus said, do communion as often as you can in remembrance of me, in a remembrance of what I have done for you, as a remembrance of the fact that I have risen from the dead and that I'm still alive. But also a very important one is specifically, and we don't do it, onthou julle daai, daai ons het altyd so uit 'n beker uitgedrink. Wie het altyd 'n nagmaal uit 'n beker uitgedrink, nê? Was soos in die vroeë jare, lang jare terug. Toe raak ons kiembewus, COVID-bewus, ja. So now we do it out of this little tot glasses. But we used to do it out of a cup. And so what happened is when Jesus brought the communion and he shared it, they shared it out of the same cup and they all drank out of the same cup. And so there is something significant about that. And sometimes because of the way that we do it these days, sometimes that get lost in translation almost, where we drink out of the same cup that Jesus drank. And so when Jesus said, I am laying down my life for you, and he's inviting us through the communion to drink from the same cup, he's also inviting you and me to do the same that he did. And that is to lay down our lives. And often we preach laying down of our lives. Oftentimes we preach of giving our lives from a place to say that is how the Holy Spirit works things in me. And it is true. But there is something about laying down my life and not living for myself that actually puts you on such a solid foundation. And it often gives you such an assurance because it is not my life to lead. It is not my life to live. It is Christ's life. And so I just wanted two scriptures just to point, to bring that through. Matthew 26. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me. And that is, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will. And Jesus laid down his life. And I love the fact that he actually brought it through to communion, where he said it is this cup that is. And Jesus gave the cup to his disciples and they all drank from the same cup in saying that they are with Jesus. So Matthew 16, this is our one. This is where Jesus now looks at us. This is how we drink the cup with Jesus. And this is also what every time that we do communion, we are actually saying to Jesus, Jesus, I'm drinking of the same cup. I'm also laying, as you laid down your life, I will lay down my life for you. So Matthew 16 verse 24, it says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? In verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. And remember, we are talking about what does it mean to believe. If we understand what it means to believe in the Son, that will give us an assurance if we've got a good understanding and we are able to live that out. What does it mean? And so one of the first things is, if we believe in the Son of God and we believe that He is our King and our Lord, that we will drink of the same cup and we will lay down our lives. We will give of ourselves to Him in that. And in that is one of your first points. If you want to know if you believe, just ask yourself this question: Have I laid down my life for Jesus? And we're going to look at how does that happen. We're going to look at how does that happen in Galatians 2. How do I lay down my life? Galatians 2 tells us this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness could be gained through the law. Christ died for nothing. And so one of the most important things for us as followers of Jesus, if we want to understand what does it mean to believe in the Son, it is Galatians 2 verse 20, where we take up the cup and we drink of the same cup and we lay down our lives and we literally die to ourselves. And it is a process that we will do for the rest of our lives. It is not something that happens when you get saved. It's not a salvation thing. It is a thing that starts with salvation when the Holy Spirit comes into my heart and He helps me and empowers me to be able to do that. But laying down of your life, and I love the way that Andrew often speaks about that. He's got such a good understanding of what it means to lay down your life. It means, say for instance this, and I'm going to use this as an example. Me and Stefan, we work together. And so from time to time, there will be a situation where I need to be Stefan's superior or his boss in that. And I will need to give Stefan an instruction that he needs to do in that. Now, what happens is if when we rub shoulders like that, often, sometimes I can say something in a wrong way, or I can say something in a way that is not right, and Stefan takes offense to that. And the minute that he takes offense, what did the offense touch on in him? It could be his pride to say, "Yeah, listen, I'm also." Ek is ook 'n bestuurder hier, so jy kan nie sommer nou net vir my kom goed te sê nie. So it can be maybe something in him, some pride or something in him that I'm touching on or that situation is touching on. But what it means to die to yourself, what it means to be dead, it is actually you're dead. There's nothing to offend because a dead person can't be offended. A dead person cannot get offended in that way. And I think often for us in the church, because there's so much of us that's actually still alive, makes it sometimes difficult for us to rub shoulders with one another. Because if there's nothing alive to offend, you can't be offended. You can't get hurt. You can't get disappointed because there's nothing in you that can get disappointed. It's only Jesus. And it's a term that I think sometimes we don't stand still long enough. What does it mean for me to die to myself? What does it mean to lay down my life in that? And so I want to encourage you, go and listen to a few, go and look on the 412 website or maybe on the Josh Gen and look, what does it mean to die to yourself? There's amazing resources available. I can't go into that in depth this morning. But if you want to know, if you want assurance of your faith, if you want to know that what does it mean to be ready, it means living a life that is laid down for Jesus. And whatever everything that is important to Jesus becomes important to you. It's almost that you where you used to don't like stuff, suddenly you like coming to church. Suddenly when you can only do 10 minutes of worship, suddenly 20 minutes is starting to, you know, grow on you. And that's when you know that Jesus is active and working in that. Is it good? Is julle nog met my? Lekker man. I've got four areas that I want to highlight this morning, and I'm going to run through them. I won't take too long on them. But it's four areas that goes against our assurance. So if you want to know if you're ready, these are the four things that you need to lay down. These are the four things that you know, and there's probably a lot more, but this is the four things that the Lord laid on my heart specifically for this morning. And the first thing is sin. And when I'm talking about sin, we are all sinful. We have a sinful nature. We will never be rid of sin while we are on this earth. Until the second coming of Jesus, we will never be rid of sin. It's still here. So when I'm talking about sin, it is not as much the sin that I'm still going to do or the sin. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And the Holy Spirit or a leader within the church or in some way or form, the Lord comes and He shows you sin in your life. And knows it's just a spotlight. Blah, oh, I've seen you sin. And I didn't know it. I didn't see it. Or I've seen it, but it's like, ek het nog net die kans gesien om met me te deel nie. Or you've justified it. You've watered it down. It's like almost like pride. Have you seen how easily we water down pride? You know, oh, ek is maar 'n trotse ou, jong. Nee, kyk, ek is maar 'n trotse ou, and then we giggle about it and we walk on. No, pride is something that the Lord needs to deal with that. We can't just sit on it. I want to read you Galatians 5. Listen to some of these things. And I know, again, I've said this many times. We read over this list in Galatians 5. But I want to almost challenge you this morning. When you've got your quiet time this week, go back to Galatians 5 and take each one of those individual ones and you go and investigate, you go and do your research on each one of them and you see, oh my word, a lot of these things are a lot more prominent in my life than I would have thought. A lot of these things. So, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Sin says, sexual immorality. Now, immediately, all of us are thinking, no, Lord, I'm okay. I'm not sleeping around. And normally, the big focus will be on something like pornography. And we all, you know, think, ooh, die means a yucky. That, oh, yeah, that's bad. And it's true. But it, you know what Jesus said? He says, if you even just think about something, it is just as good as you've done it. And so often what happens is if we have some thoughts and we have some things in our mind, and when we sometimes, just for a split second though, Chris, we entertain some thoughts, we entertain some things in our mind. You know, so where you walk past a lady or you go through the huisgenoot, jy bly so 'n bietjie die huisgenoot en hier's 'n advertensie van 'n mooi vrou and then suddenly your thoughts wander a little bit, you know, off course. You know that how quickly sexual immorality sets in, not always in your actions, but in your thoughts. And Jesus says, if you even think about it, it is just as well as you've done that already. And so my point is often we try and water it down, but it's better not to water it down. It is safer for us not to water these things down, but to actually live an open heart and an open, and we sang it this morning over and over and over. Quite a few times we sang it this morning. There's sometimes an overemphasis, especially in the charismatic churches, of how much of the Holy Spirit do I have. Fill me again, Holy Spirit. And it's true. It needs to be there. There needs to be a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. But Wilmeret always said this to us. He says, so often it is not how much of the Holy Spirit that I have that is more important. It is how much of me the Holy Spirit has that is more important. That is going to count in the long run. And so when we sing the song that Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my life. Do you often go to that place where we think, Lord, is there areas in my life that David prayed and said, Lord, is there anything in me? Is there anything in me that is not yet given to you, that is not yet surrendered? Is there anything in me that is harboring thoughts or anything that can become sin? That does not maybe sin as yet, but it can go into sin. And to surrender that to the Lord and give Him the opportunity to sort it out. And then I'm not going to go through all of them. You can go for it on your own time. I'm not going to go through all of that. I just want to stand still. I know we're going to come back to that. But you see their idols, verse 20, idolatry. Idolatry, we always think of beeldkies and khuikikies. Daar is nie Buddha beelde in my huis nie. And, I've never, read the Quran or whatever the thing is. So we always think of idols of these things that we worship. But there's a scripture, maybe I can go to that. Robin, if you can find it, it is on my list. It's 1 John 5. 1 John 5. This is an idol. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. That is an idol. Where Jesus needs to fulfill a role in your life, and you have anything other than Jesus fulfilling that role in your life. And it can be even things like your children. It can be your marriage. It can be some good things like bicycling and exercise, where you latch onto something to fulfill a role in your life that should actually, in the start, be Jesus. And I'm not saying give up your marriage now and it's only you and Jesus go and live in some kind of kibbutz or a Eskimo or something. No, what I'm saying is, when Jesus is the center and all of those things come added to that, but it starts with Jesus. And He is the primarily one, the one that fulfills these areas in you and through you. So I'm not going to, I don't want to go too much. There's Romans 6 speaks about the power of sin. And if there is something in all of us, if you want to know Lord Jesus, and if you want to live from a place where you know I am ready, anything can happen tomorrow. We need to allow the Lord to break the power of sin that the grip of sin has over our lives. And the only way that we can do that is by dealing with sin. Sin does not go away on its own. Sin does not release, its grasp on you. And in fact, sin in my own life, my own testimony of it raak altijd erger. I don't know about you guys, but in my life, sin never stays the same as well. It always grows. It always grows into more sin. Jy weet, een leentjie raak twee leentjies, raak drie leentjies, en op een van die dag raak het 'n groot leen. And it's the same with every other thing. It's never something that just, the devil is never happy with just a sin. He always wants more and more of that. And so if you want to live from a place where you are, know that you know, deal with sin and allow the Lord to deal with sin. Then we already said idols is the other one. We have preached on idols before. I'm not going to preach on it again. But ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, is there anything in my heart? Is there anything in my life that is taking up a more important place than you in my life? The third one, it is to allow the Lord to change your heart and to change your desires into godly desires and to what basically pleases Him. And there's a scripture in Philippians 2. Dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, you must even be more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I love the way that it is stated. This is to put into action God's saving work in your lives. That is belief. To believe in the Son of God is exactly that sentence. To put into action God's saving work in your lives. That is what it means to believe in the Son. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And then verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desires to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. I want to say this. If you have been saved, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, but you are still sitting with your old desires and He hasn't started giving you new desires, then you must ask the question, Lord, am I ready? Because the Bible says that if we have given our lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit is active and these processes of God is active in my life, I'm supposed to have other desires. And suddenly, I have a desire to go to a conference. Suddenly, I have a desire that I don't want to miss a Sunday morning of church. Suddenly, I have a desire to meet with God's people on a Wednesday. I never had the desire. Where does this come from? And that is a sign to you that the Holy Spirit is active in your life in that? Are you giving yourself to that? Are you allowing Him to change your desires into His desires? And the last thing is fulfilling godly purposes. That's the last thing that I feel that sometimes we shy away from in that, but it is sometimes in God's purposes for our lives that we find a part of Jesus, a working with Jesus, that puts us on such solid ground, because it's almost like you're rubbing shoulders with Jesus on a daily basis. And that's what church plant did for us. I mean, we had no experience in leading a church. We had no experience in planting a church. And so fulfilling, walking, stepping into the purposes that God had for my life almost put me in a place where on a daily basis, I was so dependent on Jesus to make this thing work, to be able to build up a church, because I had no clue what I was doing. And so that put me in a place where on a daily basis, I was talking, I was speaking to Jesus, I was asking Him His advice. And so often we will find is walking in the purposes and the plans that God has for your life puts you in a position where you partner with Jesus just a lot more. And you're walking this road with Him because you are so dependent on Him to be able to do that. Ephesians 2, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no one might boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in Him. So one of the things, if you want assurance of your faith, ask the Lord, Lord, what is the plans and the purposes that you have for my life in this season? And it can change. You guys know how our season is changing. I have no clue what the Lord has next for me. I have no clue how the Lord wants. So I know I'm still going to be an elder and I'm still going to serve as an elder in the church. But we're still looking at the Lord and say, Lord, whatever your plans and purposes, wherever you want us to serve and how you want us to serve, we'll be available and we'll be there because we are your workmanship and for your plans and purposes. 2 Timothy 2, and this is the last one. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, I love that. If you keep yourself pure, often I think we look at almost like there's a, and I know I'm not talking about spiritual ambition. I'm not talking about I want to become this in the church, and I want to become a leader in the church. I'm just talking about the Lord using His plans and His purposes, sometimes just to motivate us, sometimes just as a way to help us to stay the course. And it's almost what this is saying. If you keep yourself pure, this is what Paul is saying, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. I love that part where the Lord also uses sometimes His plans and His purposes to keep us on that sure footing in that. So, I was asking the Lord in the week, Lord, where are you going with this? Because I know I'm preaching to people that are saved. I'm looking around in this room, and everybody in this room I know, you know, personally, you're like Jesus. And so I'm asking, Lord, maybe the Lord wants us to plant a seed in our hearts so that this week the Lord is going to use us when we talk to the world, when we talk to others, that our assurance, our surety, our knowing is something that the Lord might want to use to plant seeds in the hearts of unbelievers or people that need that. But as we were doing worship this morning, and I heard about, or there was the word, Hephzibah had a word where the Lord showed her a picture, Stefan did share it, about a vulture and a dove fighting in the air. And then there was the word, what was the other word, Stefan? My mom had a word as well, but the point is, I do feel that this morning there's a bit of a battle for our hearts. There's a bit of a battle ongoing. And each person in their own heart, you fighting your own battles in your own world. I don't know of the battles that you're fighting, and you don't always know the battles that I'm fighting. But I feel that the Lord wants to come this morning, and He wants to put us on solid ground, each person that is here this morning. He wants to put us on solid ground. But there's something of a personal journey, because assurance of faith, somebody ek kan vir jou sê tot ek blou is in die gesig, moenie worry nie, jy is gered. Nee, jy's regtig, jy's fine. Jy het jou hart vir Here gegee, ek beloof vir jou, jy's fine. As jy dit by God self hoor, and if you know it for yourself, that's when it really matters. And there's something in my heart, we thought maybe we must pray for people this morning. Maybe there's something where the Lord wants to, you know, bring joy and where we minister and we bring. But I feel this morning, each person that is sitting here this morning, you are facing your own doubts, your own fears, some things that is throwing you off course this morning or in the week. Maybe it isn't one of the areas that I mentioned. Maybe there's an idol or two that you've been knowing about for a while. Maybe there's a sin that, as we were speaking, the Lord brought it up. Maybe there's some unbelief. Maybe there's something, or maybe it is just plain the ability of circumstances. This fight that we talked about, where the vultures comes, and a vulture is a thing, it's called a vulture with a reason. He looks for an opportunity. He looks for something that is almost dead, already dead. And then he goes and feeds on that. And that is often how the enemy works. He feeds on whatever happens in your life. And he feeds on circumstances and on doubt that he sees in you. And he feeds off of that. And I feel that this morning with communion, I feel that Jesus wants to give each one of us an opportunity this morning to say, Lord Jesus, if there's any doubt in my heart, if there's anything in me that is struggling to walk this road out with you, I want to choose firstly to take my cup and to take up my cup and to drink with you and to lay down and basically to choose you to walk with me. Basically to choose again. And already we've all chosen Jesus. But again to say, Jesus, I choose to lay down my life and to allow you to give me that surety, to allow you that I walk with you and that my belief in you is not just a word that I say that I believe in Jesus, but it is actually the way that I live my life that believes in Jesus. And I want to give us that opportunity this morning. And if the Lord is showing you anything, that's going to be between you and the Lord. If the Lord is showing you a sin, confess it. Lay it down. If the Lord is showing you an idol in your life, come to Him this morning and say, Lord, allow me to deal with this morning. If there's doubt in you, fear, unbelief, allow the Lord to deal with it this morning or to lay it down and to lay it at His feet this morning so that you can come and walk out here with a faith in Jesus, a faith in the surety so that you are not rocked about like a boat tossed to and fro by anything that might happen or doubt that the enemy may cause. Is that good? All right. Maybe we can put up some background music, Robin. Just close your eyes just before. Or maybe everybody, maybe come and get yourself, but we're going to use it together. So just kom kry vir julle broodjie en 'n of 'n koekie en 'n